In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if you have ever asked of God, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Well, if you've asked that, actually, the good news is you're already praying. But you might say, well, I want to know a little bit more about prayer. I want to go deeper in my prayer. What is prayer all about? Well, perhaps we might make some observations to start with. First of all, that prayer is not unique to Christianity, and I'll come back to that point in a moment. It's not unique to Christianity. It's not even unique to the teaching of Jesus. After all, Jesus' disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, just like John used to teach his disciples to pray. Prayer to God already existed, as we see throughout the Hebrew scriptures. We might also observe that prayer is a basic human desire and practice, whether it's something whispered quietly from a trench in the First World War or at the beginning of an exam or a particularly testing time. It seems to be something that's deeper than organized religion, and it clearly takes many and various forms. And if we think prayer is going out of fashion, we might look around us in contemporary society and see that prayer and versions and hinters of it are very visible in contemporary society. For example, it's very interesting to see how the practice of mindfulness has taken off in the last few years. It looks so very similar to Christian prayer, especially the contemplative, meditative type of prayer. You might also almost say that mindfulness is prayer that's been very well branded, and it's certainly very popular. We might also see, and generally this happens at those very sad and tragic times, a bubbling up of a form of prayer seen in public vigils, the lighting of candles when people come together in acts of corporate grief. And don't we just know the power of those acts, as we've seen recently in Paris, in Nice, and now in Munich. We might also observe in contemporary society the discipline and frequency, and indeed the posture of prayer, offered by Muslims in submission to God. So prayer is all around us, and yet as Christians, perhaps we get a bit wobbly when we start to describe prayer or think about prayer. But we might all agree that prayer is essential to the Christian life. So why is it a problem for many people? Why does it seem so unspecific, ethereal, perhaps something of a burden? I don't quite know what to say. Why is it so many of us have become suspicious of prayer? Perhaps this is part of the appeal of mindfulness at the moment. It uses many techniques common to religious prayer, but doesn't seem religious. It pays attention to body and posture and breathing, but it's also very much about the mind, mindfulness. It plays well to the Enlightenment notion, I think, it's in my head. That's what makes me, I think, therefore I am. It rather tunes into the modern fallacy that I can conquer things with my own mind and from my own resources. And in that sense, it's not really like Christian prayer. I want to be clear, mindfulness isn't necessarily bad, but it is a therapeutic technique, and it makes us dependent on our self-will, whereas Christian prayer takes us out of ourselves to seek the will of God. Another suspicion that Christians might have about prayer is that sometimes it can seem rather manipulative. How often have we heard people say, I've prayed about this long and hard, and I've decided such and such, or X, Y, and Z. Where's there scope for dissent or challenge if someone announces that sort of thing after they've prayed? And that raises the further question, which our gospel reading touched on. How can I possibly ask for something in prayer? So with all that background and backdrop, we might just ask again with Jesus' disciples, Lord, please teach us to pray. Prayer may not be unique to Christianity, but prayer offered by Christians is distinctive and particular. When we ask, Lord, teach us to pray, we're asking that that deep human urge within us to offer something beyond ourselves actually changes, affects and effects and reflects our relationship with our Heavenly Father, with God. And it's this that takes us out of ourselves. Christian prayer begins in the simplicity of a relationship with God that can be understood in a generative and life-giving way, an intimate way, when we whisper and say with Jesus, Abba, Father. We're not just saying, my Father, but we're saying, our Father. And this prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples and teaches to us, that form the basis of our gospel reading, takes us to the heart of the mission of Jesus Christ, which is to incorporate us or bind us in or graft us in to the very life of God, so that when we pray, we are being led into God's life, something Eastern Christians call theosis or divinization, being made divine almost in our praying. That's not divination, the reading of signs and omens, but divinization, which is, let's set the word aside, growth into the image and likeness of God. God who gives us the strength and capacity to make us what God wants us to be. Prayer, then, in the Christian tradition is how we seek out, in the name of Jesus, those wellsprings of God's sustaining life and power. We know, certainly in this hot weather, just how refreshing it is to find a well. So it is in our spiritual lives, in prayer, seeking out the wells of God's life and love. Just to say, Our Father, places us into a relationship with the source and wellspring of life, and gives us the opportunity to drink from that life. This isn't about uttering formulas, spells, divination and omens or ceremonies to give us access to God's life. It's not even tranquil introspection, but it is seeking out actively the springs of water that already exist. In the same way, prayer should never be for us an echo chamber of our own prejudices, or trying to manipulate God to do things against people who we don't really like, or a place where we go to justify ourselves before God. But rather, Christian prayer is a place where we lay bare before God the very depths of our hearts, in all their inadequacies and all their triumphs. We can't do this, though, alone. This is why St. Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit that prays deep within us, in that wonderful phrase he uses, with sighs too deep for words. Sometimes a sigh might be a prayer, without words and yet placing ourselves in God's presence. So we have this image of the Holy Spirit praying deep within us. How can we ever give words to what the Spirit says? Well, perhaps to use a slightly outdated image now, we might think of a radio set that needs to be tuned in. Do you remember those old-fashioned dials? You may even have one in your bathroom, like I do in mine. no digital technology there. You have to tune it in to pick up the signal. We in prayer need to tune ourselves in to the signal that's being transmitted. God is the transmitter. God is the transmission. We are to be the receivers, tuned in to the life of God, ready to receive God's signal in our lives. Lord, teach us to pray. That was the disciples' request, and that's ours today. And what Jesus offers in response to that request, and go back to that gospel to read all about it, as they say, what Jesus offers is a pattern of prayer, an actual form of words of prayer, against which we can measure all our own prayer and through which our prayer can flow. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus invites us to join with him in that relationship he has with God, our Heavenly Father, so that we can say with him, and as we will later with one another, our Father. There are lots of books out there that describe and explain the Lord's Prayer. They trace, quite rightly, its Jewish roots. They describe its style, its shape, and its vocabulary. Yet Sunday by Sunday, and I trust day by day, what we do with the Lord's Prayer is pray it, is breathe it, such that it shapes who we are as people in relationship with God in Jesus' name. When we do that, when we utter that Lord's Prayer, we are being drawn into God's inner life, such that we can make all our requests known to God, so that we can be, like the gospel, persistent in prayer, so that we make our requests known to God, and so that we can accept that sometimes our prayer will change us more than it can ever change God's mind on something. There's an ancient Christian document known as the Didache, which translates the teaching of the 12 apostles. And in there it says, every Christian, every day, should pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times. I'd suggest morning, midday, evening would be a good start. And if you feel that your life of prayer seems barren, if you can't find the words with which to pray, what about adopting that strategy? Strategy doesn't seem quite the right word, does it? But adopt that practice. In the morning, pray the Lord's Prayer, at midday and in the evening. If your prayer seems barren, bewildering, unrewarding, confusing, that would seem to be a very good place to start. And indeed, when you do that, you might want to adopt some of those techniques of mindfulness. Think about your posture. Are you ready to listen to God? Are you ready to be in relationship with God? Are you breathing well? Are you being steady and receptive? And as you utter, Our Father, who art in heaven, you are placing yourself into God's very presence as a child of God, beloved and precious. As you do that, you hallow God's holy name. You yearn for God's kingdom, and you ask for his power to sustain you like a well, day by day, and in your daily bread. You ask to be shaped and schooled in the ways of forgiveness, and you ask to be spared an ordeal, a time of trial that is in fact of your own making and vanity. Little wonder then that this prayer, which we delight in calling the Lord's Prayer, is at the very heart of the Christian life. It's at the heart of our celebration of the Eucharist, that receiving of our daily bread. It is at the heart of the prayer that Jesus taught us. The Lord's Prayer, the source and the summit of Christian prayer. Prayer to our Father, in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That seems like a pretty good definition of what Christian prayer is. But still we will ask, and rightly so, Lord, teach us to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.